we present the News Quiz with your host, Miles Jupp.
Hello, and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with an article from the BBC News website, read by Neil Sleat.
Fire has gutted a Grade 2 listed mansion in Northamptonshire. Emergency services report the blaze at the 18th century limestone mansion had been brought under control by 1715.
Our thanks to Bob Kowalczyk for copying and pasting that burning issue. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Francis Ween and Sarah Kendall. And opposite them, on my left, Simon Evans and Susan Cowman. Francis, who is getting serious about Syria?
I have a bit of a problem, actually, at the moment with stories about British foreign policy, because when I hear a newsreader, as it might be Neil Sleat, say, the Foreign Secretary, Boris Johnson, I just go, what? And I then miss the rest of the story. I think, as far as I could gather, he said in the House of Commons that Russia might well be guilty of a war crime in Syria. He also said, why weren't the Stop the War coalition protesting outside the Russian embassy? This was immediately answered the next morning on the Today programme by the vice president of the Stop the War coalition, fine old public school Trotskyist called Chris Nynham, who said, no, we wouldn't do that because that would be a distraction from our main job, which is to campaign against the West. It's a very odd collection of people. I mean, you know, thousands of people who go out on the streets for their marches, but then the actual leadership of the Stop the War coalition is a very, very odd collection of, as I say, well, I mean, it's very diverse. There's Seamus Milne is a Wickhamist Stalinist, and this Nynham, the vice president, is an old Westminster Trotskyist. All faiths and all public schools there represented.
I saw a direct quote him saying that he didn't want to protest against Russia because it would fuel anti-Russian hysteria, which suggests that such hysteria already exists but is just simmering at the moment.
I travel around the country. It was in Ilkley last night in Yorkshire, lovely place. There was very little hysteria about the Russians there. The scones were slightly late arriving and that caused quite a lot of problems. But I think what Francis says is right. I think one of the issues is Boris Johnson is listening to him, because if you spend such a lot of your time kind of being a buffoon, when you're meant to be taken seriously, it's difficult. It's like going into hospital for an operation and just before you go under, realising the Chuckle Brothers are doing your tonsillectomy. All you can see in your head is a picture of him suspended from a wire. Yes. And you think, look, there are some serious issues.
Putin, for instance, who we see stripped naked to the waist and wrestling a bear.
I would always suggest, you know, those pictures of Putin stripped naked, wrestling a bear. That says strength. Hanging from a zipline says someone deliberately left you there.
I think he has a marvellously successful disruptive tactic in that respect. I mean, it worked on the British public to the extent that we're now out of Europe due entirely to his weird obfuscating charms.
Stop moaning about it, Simon. Stop moaning about it. We all have to stop moaning about it.
I'm absolutely not moaning about it. I'm celebrating it. I'm thanking Boris for having obfuscated us out of Europe. But I think it's important to recognise that what you regard as hopeless buffoonery has served him very well to the extent that he now occupies one of the great offices of state. You have to at some point to recognise that the tactic is working, and it may just continue to work in Russia.
Of course, he was born in the United States, and for many years he had this ambition to be President of the United States one day. And, you know, they are quite short of contenders at the moment.
I mean, if he's drawing fire, I mean, you think, who's the real enemy here? Is it Boris or is it Putin? Then, I mean, which way would you go, Simon, for instance?
Well, I would probably lean towards Putin as being the greater threat to humanity.
Right.
And certainly within the Syrian crisis as it currently stands, I think you'd have to, honestly, on paper, if you withdraw from ad hom attacks, you would have to look at the statistical evidence, which suggests that Putin is behind more of the blood and gore currently littering the streets of Aleppo than Boris Johnson. I would say so, on balance. I mean, I'm not an expert. The thing about Russians is, I'll tell you the thing about Russians. Russia has been living on the false premise that it is inviolate on historical premises which no longer hold true. Historically, it has been able to exercise its power within what it regards as its spheres of influence without a great deal of trouble. But the fact is that due to global warming, a march on Moscow, even in the winter now, would not be the problem that it was for Napoleon or Hitler.
Gentlemanly, this is Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson's intervention in the Syrian conflict. Boris said he was personally very attracted to sending Russia to the International Criminal Court, but I'm not sure we can base all foreign policy on what Boris is personally attracted to, being as he is a man who handles his personal life the way Heston Blumenthal handles liquid nitrogen. Stick it in anything, just to see what happens. Also this week, Tory MP Andrew Mitchell described Russian behaviour like that of the Nazis, and Vladimir Putin called off a trip to Paris. So, not exactly like the Nazis. It's not all bad news for Putin. This week he did receive the Hugo Chavez Prize from Venezuela in recognition of his tireless work for peace, suggesting that while Venezuela may have terrible shortages of money and consumer goods, they're still rich in both crude oil and irony. 2 points. To Francis. Sarah, who's managing to trump even our worst expectations?
There's been a fresh wave of allegations of sexual misconduct. It's yet another attack from the liberal media on Donald Trump. I mean, look, how can he be a sexual predator? For a start, he's not even Mexican. Look, this is exactly like the Trump tapes, all right? You know, a couple of people have come forward and they've said that he behaved inappropriately. And it's just, it's locker room stuff, guys. Like, you know when you've been at the gym and you've done a really hard workout, right? I mean, like, you don't get a body like Donald Trump's without working out. The thing that I find really distressing about it, like, jokes aside, the thing that's really distressing is you go, I can't think of a single thing that he hasn't said or done. Like, he's pretty much covered every minority group. He's done all the worst things, and it doesn't make a dent on that sort of 35 to 40 million people who are still going to vote for him.
You're right, though, because every single thing that has emerged recently is completely of a set with everything we already know about him.
Right.
What you need is a contradictory thing to emerge, something which has forces you to reassess it. If pictures emerged of him baking some nice souffles or something, then some of his supporter base might feel themselves conflicted.
The odd thing is, all these Republican grandees who have now come out against him, having endorsed him before, saying, oh, we had no idea he was ghastly. How were we to guess? But once they'd heard that tape, of him saying you should just grab them by the thing that Mrs. Slocum
Mrs.
had.
Mrs. Slocum can say it, you damn it.
And then these problems came out, one after another. They were all men, and they all said, all these senators and congressmen, oh, well, I am the father of two girls and the husband of a woman and the son, indeed, of a woman, and I couldn't live with myself knowing this. Did you see the spinning room? Because all these senators and congresspeople had deserted him, there were only three elected officials in St. Louis willing to spin for him. Normally you'd get governors and all sorts. I think one was the rat catcher from Yonkers or something. And one was an MEP called Nigel Farage. The most senior spinner for Trump. And then brilliantly said, oh, yes, he was like an alpha male, silverback gorilla. He really dominated Hillary Clinton. And given that the previous few days have been all about Trump trying to dominate women, I think brilliant.
It was a frightening and disturbing time watching that video, and I mean, I took action. I built a bunker and hid my cats because no one's touching my pussies without a fight, I'll tell you.
Something that I thought was a really interesting analysis of the language that he was using. He was talking the way he thinks you're meant to talk when you're with another man, and that the idiom was all like, he said something like, oh yeah, I was on her like a bitch. And you're like, that doesn't make any sense. Just, it all feels like he's trying to do an impression of how men talk with each other and will say anything if he thinks the other man is liking him, or like the audio with Billy Bush kind of, it's like Beavis and Butthead.
Typically, these are the latest antics of Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump, a man whose progressive attitude towards women's rights makes Genghis Khan look like Polly Toynbee. Trump has been hit by a wave of scandals this week. Claims of sexual harassment, secret recordings, arguments with fellow Republicans, and the week isn't even over. Christ knows what he'll have managed by the time this actually goes out. He may well have jumped on stage during an amateur performance of The Sound of Music and started punching the nuns. Before grabbing a microphone and announcing that, unlike Crooked Hillary, only he has the stamina to successfully climb every mountain. Of course, Hillary Clinton is everything Donald Trump hates. A woman of his own age. Two points to Sarah. Simon, who's been spreading Brexit panic?
Ah, very clever. Reference to the nation's favourite or least favourite spread, Marmite, which I believe has been a flash in the pan. Even over the course of this 24-hour news cycle, this issue has already been resolved. But it was briefly looked as though Tesco would be unable to stock Marmite as they could not come to an agreement with Unilever, who are a sort of strange commercial version of Spectre, who control control access to various condiments and commodities. And Unilever had immediately decided that the plunging value of the pound meant that Marmite, which is made, if it can be dignified with that verb, in the UK anyway, the Marmite is in fact a byproduct of the brewing industry. Very much like Brexit in that respect, in fact. And indeed most of us. But Unilever, they weren't going to be able to supply Marmite. They couldn't agree a price which would reflect the falling. The pound has plunged. This is the main story. This has been the main effect so far on the economy of Brexit, because Brexit hasn't happened yet. But the extent to which the markets have caught fright and are convinced that Theresa May has a hard Brexit in her. Consequently, the value of the pound has fallen to what I believe is a 185-year low, according to the FT today, which is quite exciting because that takes us back to 1832, roughly, the Great Reform Bill, when the Victorian economic miracle really began to work for this country. So we're on the threshold of something really great here, if we could just see it from a positive point of view for a change. But the pound is, frankly, I think, is tremendously good value at its current rate. Sadly, the only thing I have to buy it with is sterling, which is completely worthless at the moment. So not able to take advantage of that myself. But that is essentially where we're at. I've been analysing. I think a lot of people think that Britain has wandered away from a successful and thriving project in the EU. In reality, most of the southern states of Europe want to go. Quitterly is already being discussed in very serious terms. Quitterly. And Spain want to get out as well, but they can't come up with a word for it yet, which is the only thing that's holding them back. They tried spout, but spout is doesn't quite have the forward momentum that's necessary to carry the sort of let's dribble out of Europe. It doesn't work. So.
Spoff?
Spoff.
Spaway?
I think the
Speeve?
Arrivederci, but no, that's a little tough.
But there was a beautiful tweet, I think it was between Vegemite and Bovril. Vegemite tweeted, "Bovril, now's our chance."
Actually, I mean, what's been happening in Scotland this week that's vaguely related to Marmite?
Sturgeon mooting Indy Ref 2, or indeed that's not right. More than mooting it, but greasing the wheels.
Do you know what she's done?
Because of Brexit, I feel quite secure here as my role as the News Quiz's Scotland correspondent. Sturgeon announced at the SNP party conference that she's putting forward a bill to possibly bring in a second IndyRef, and I know people are interested, so I've taken some soundings. So just to let you know, this is, and it's quite complicated, and just bear with me. In Scotland, after the announcement, some people are really happy, and some people aren't, and that's really the situation in Scotland just now. Obviously, if that changes, I'll keep you up to date.
It does rather annoy me that Nicola Sturgeon is endlessly presented as somebody who has got her head screwed on compared to all our Westminster headless chickens. Whereas in reality, she's living in a dream world that makes Theresa May look like she's the most extraordinarily pragmatic logician of the generation.
I think it's the sort of thing you should genuinely think about, paying your own way to travel up to Scotland and tell people in quite crowded conservation areas. Just take an old milk crate, put it down on Socky Hall Street and say, "Chaps, chaps, chaps, are you sure you've really thought about this?"
I will.
Vivaciously, this is the latest Brexit news, as the falling pound is blamed for the rising price of products like Marmite and Hellman's mayonnaise, causing them to temporarily disappear from the shelves of Tesco. Of course, some people like the European Union and some people don't, making it very much the Hellman's mayonnaise of political institutions. You don't know where this sort of thing ends. What's the old saying? First they came for the yeast extract and I did not speak up. Because it is disgusting. In other Brexit news, Nicola Sturgeon has announced plans for a second referendum on Scottish independence. Never let it be said that this programme is an example of the London-centric media elite ignoring the important issues affecting Scotland, whatever those might be. Rest assured, we consider your interests almost as important as the price we pay for mayonnaise. Also, the Labour Party announced they had 170 questions to ask Theresa May about Brexit, although the list is a little bit padded out, including, as it does, number 63, why do bad things happen to good people? Number 91, how can you tell we're not living in the Matrix? And number 145, what is love? Open brackets, baby, don't hurt me. Points to Simon. Susan, have a listen to this.
And where are the clowns? There ought to be clowns. Well, maybe next year.
Well, that certainly made me think. Susan, who's been clowning around?
It's actually a fairly sinister and strange story of a craze of young people dressing up as clowns, sinister clowns, sometimes holding weapons, and they hang around outside schools or in alleyways and chase people, which is wrong. And professional clowns are very upset by this. Professional clowns have said that it misrepresents their profession, which is how I feel when I see dapper laughs. And the main thing that's happening is it's very frightening. The British public have reacted the way I always knew the British public would react, which is in a positive way, because in Cumbria, a man has taken it upon himself to dress as Batman to chase the clowns away. Costumed vigilantes chasing other people in costumes. I mean, it's a distraction from Brexit, let's face it. Instead of staying at home thinking, our money's worthless, you know, Marmite was off the shelves for a day, we're all going to die when Russia decides it's time, let's all take back control, dress up as superheroes and chase other people dressed as clowns. And if nothing else, it, you know, it'll keep us out of the house. When I was younger, the crazies were things like skateboarding and roller skating and yo-yos. It wasn't dressing up in a scary clown mask with a chainsaw and chasing children across a playing field. That would have been frowned upon.
Well, I do actually know a professional circus clown, David Conyott. He's a lovely man, and he's nearly 70, but he's still clowning away, and very good he is too. And he's been very upset by all this, because, I mean, his Conyott ancestors have been clowning since at least the 1600s, I think, in Hungary, and then they came to Germany, and they ended up in Britain. And they teamed up with another family called the Fossetts, who've been clowns for 800 years. You know, the Black Death and things like that, the Peasants' Revolt, there were his ancestors, lightening the mood a bit. And he's been doing this all these years, and suddenly clowns are being ostracised and victimised and vilified. And he's very worried. He actually was saying this week that he feels that just as once there was this campaign to get animals out of circuses, which was quite successful, he thinks the next thing will be, in a few years, there'll be no clowns in circuses, they'll be banned. And he said, look out, jugglers, it'll be you next.
I'm constantly prepared to see a clown after this story. Like, I'm constantly vigilant when I walk around. I used to be worried about, like, muggings or things like that, but now I'm just constantly scanning for clowns and I'm ready for
what would
I,
you do?
You know. What if I saw a clown? Depends what they were armed with.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it?
I think when I did a self-defence course, they said use your height to your advantage in that you have a low centre of gravity, so just take them out at the knees. So I would sweep away.
You'd go nutsack.
Yeah, yes, I could do that.
Straight clowns are very stable because of the big shoes. So
that is true.
And about Statistically, this is the creepy clown craze, a spate of incidents where people dressed as clowns have attempted to surprise and frighten innocent passers-by. Apparently, professional clowns aren't happy about it, despite all appearances to the contrary. What we have to remember is that most traditional clowns are just harmless entertainers who want to focus on the core activities of clowning. Selling hamburgers, helping children with their maths on the test card, and appearing outside your bedroom window at 3 a.m. holding a knife. 2 points to Susan. And at the end of round one, the scores are Francis and Sarah have 4, and so too do Simon and Susan. We start round two with a cutting from the Bradford Telegraph and Argus.
Bradford has been celebrating a double hat-trick after again picking up the title Britain's Curry Capital. It's a fantastic achievement, said Councillor Sarah Ferriby, 6 years on the trot.
Our thanks to Ian Thompson for adding that bit of spice to our lives. Francis, whose developments have been neutered?
Neutered, yes. It's a hereditary peer called Lord Borwick, who made a speech in the House of Lords last week, and you might think it was going to be more bore than Wick, but it bloody well wasn't. It was some sensational stuff, because they were debating why there is so little house building and so few affordable houses in Britain today. And he said it was all the fault of the great crested newt. Or actually, no, it was more the accomplices of the great crested newt, because these newts are legally protected and you're not allowed to disturb them. And what happens, he claims, he said, the thing is, if you're a developer, he is director of a firm called Countryside Properties or something. He said, you go along, find a site, it all looks tickety-boo, you get permission, send for Johnny Bulldozer, and there's no newt there, and then 5 seconds later, there they are, the little blighters. Where have they come from? And he says it's a well-known fact that environmentalists and local protesters will somehow introduce these rare newts and dump them there just to scupper the entire development. He didn't really explain where they're coming from, these newts, whether there's some sort of weird laboratory somewhere where they're producing test tube baby great crested newts and then spreading them all over the country to sabotage Countryside Properties. But apparently it is a big issue, and we're none the wiser about where they're coming from or who's doing it. But he's a serious chap. He's a Eldertonian, hereditary peer. He knows what's what. He wouldn't be making this up, so I think we must listen to him.
So is he suggesting that the newts aren't capable of just organising themselves?
No. They can't do it themselves, because they haven't got the transport. They can't drive.
It's not their fault. There's no infrastructure, is there, for people like them? What do you feel, Sarah?
About this particular story.
Let's talk about that for now, yeah.
I suppose I just thought, why didn't you just put humans there? Like, a bulldozer wouldn't go over a human either. Like, if you wanted to sabotage a thing like that, why not just go there yourself? Like, why would you have to bring in a species and...
Well, I guess the idea that you put some newts there and then the newts can stay there.
Like humans.
Okay. But, yeah, but if you put humans, you say, are you doing anything here? I'm not doing anything for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, well, you've got to stand in a field for 5 or whatever it is. Yeah. It is, I would say, and
I'd
I'm not
that.
The sort of person that you...
I'd totally do that.
Well, maybe it's worth, you know, putting a message out there.
This feels like the right environment.
I think it's less convenient for humans to stand in front of bulldozers than...
It's about their habitats. It's not about the individual newt. It's about the place that they live. Whereas if you're developing, you don't care about humans where they live anyway. If you had a human there, they'd go, well, it's just a human. We'll just take it away. Whereas the newts, it's their general ambient surroundings. So that's why there's an area around the newt that's protected as well. But it's all Europe's fault, because now we've left Europe, we can get rid of the protection of newts because it's a Brexit issue. As everything is a Brexit issue these days. Strictly Come Dancing, what happened there? That's a Brexit issue. Everything's a Brexit issue.
Because they're not endangered, really, in Britain. It's an EU rule.
No, but if a newt was on Strictly Come Dancing, you wouldn't be allowed to vote it off, because you cannot move them, ever.
If I saw a newt on Strictly Come Dancing, I'd be like, well, at least it's trying its best. It's not a trained dancer. Some of those people on Strictly have been to stage school. It's not their fault that they're not trained.
You wouldn't think, how does a newt get on Strictly when I can't?
No, I think she's got a great agent. I think, well, maybe she's got an upcoming part in EastEnders or something, or a book to publicise. I wouldn't immediately think she's there for kind of diversity reasons. Because the newt population are complaining about the lack of representation in mainstream BBC television.
Simon, are we being fair?
Well,
I hate to be the fly in the ointment, but I think they'd probably, you know, I'm a newt, get me out of here. I could probably stomach that, something like, of that level, a newt, you know, alongside some other celebrities in the jungle. But on Strictly, I think the appeal is limited. I think it would wear off quite quickly. I think the novelty would give way to tedium as the newt failed to learn new steps and would probably not take constructive criticism well. And we've all seen where that can lead this week as well. So
you're fundamentally misunderstanding the way the British public views Strictly Come Dancing. If I was on Strictly Come Dancing, I would struggle with Latin as I have concrete hips. I've been told that on numerous occasions by many, many people. So I would struggle with the Latin and the pasodoble, but I know the British public would look at me and thinking, she is trying, she's embracing the Strictly experience. And I think if that newt was just told to smile a bit more, I think...
Perhaps you should practice for Strictly on land set aside for development, Susan, and the two... We could somehow make these two stories, one of which we're meant to be talking about, one of which we aren't. Possibly meet them in the middle somewhere.
There must be some way, surely, of establishing whether a newt which has suddenly appeared in front of a bulldozer is in fact a local resident or is somebody who has simply... Discuss with the newt how it finds the facilities.
What other, then, animals have escaped this week? Anyone know?
The silverback gorilla from London Zoo.
Gorilla escaped from London Zoo?
Disguised as Donald Trump. Is that right?
The cobra. The monocled cobra.
Where are they, the monocled cobra?
In China. There's 200 monocled cobras escaped from a farm. It was a legal farm. They were breeding them for various medicines. And 200 of them escaped. I just love the idea of a monocled cobra on the run, just going on the lam.
Especially the monocled bit, like Lord Peter Wimsey of cobras.
Yeah. Monocled cobras are actually the face of Snake Monopoly. I don't even know that.
No.
Got to listen all the time, guys.
Reading the story about the gorilla that escaped from London Zoo, it was described beautifully on the BBC website. So, yeah, a gorilla escaped from London Zoo whilst people were in the zoo, and there was just a beautiful paragraph where it said, everyone was locked in a cafe until the gorilla was recaptured. It was fine. And you can just imagine, just that everyone, it's a gorilla, just wait. And everyone going, well, OK, fine. Yes, absolutely. We've got a toilet and a tea urn. We'll be absolutely fine.
Teleologically, this is the news that Conservative peer Lord Borwick has called for an end to the protection granted to the great crested newt, claiming that protesters are deliberately introducing newts onto building sites in order to halt development. The fact that Lord Borwick is himself a property developer has nothing to do with his views, nor does the fact that his wife ran off with a newt. Someone's traded up. Great crested newts are not endangered in the UK, but they are endangered in the EU. But then I suppose the French will eat anything, won't they? apart from cheddar. I personally have no time for amphibians. Land or water, make your minds up. Hop off the fence, lads. And in eastern China, about 200 venomous snakes escaped from a breeding farm. About 200. I've thought that when it comes to venomous snakes, the one thing you really want is exact figure of just how many are out there. 2 points to Francis. Sarah, who has waved goodbye to their intellectual property?
Oh, yeah, I love this story. So there was a company in Scotland, and they had a visit from some Chinese delegates. And they got shown around the factory to look at this invention that turns waves from the ocean into power. It converts it into electricity or something like that. So they came, had a look around the factory. They took them out drinking. They did some traditional dancing, some Scottish dancing. They made love. I don't make that up. I just made that up. They might have. I don't know. Anyway, so that was all fine. And then they went back to China. And then about 10 weeks later, there was this break-in at the factory. The thieves went straight to the second floor and just took the laptops, nothing else, like not even like a kettle or anything else, just the laptops. And in China, they've recently unveiled an almost identical product, which is pretty clearly been stolen.
They did just walk into an office and then just copy them, which seems a little bit, it just seems a bit off. You know, that if we spend all our time doing amazing things and then they just walk in and steal it, it's just a bit... I think it's wrong.
I mean, we all know it's morally wrong, but the last time I was in Hong Kong, I bought 3 knock-off diesel bags and a belt, you know, and that's exactly the same thing that goes on a slightly less intellectually demanding level, you know. Knock-off gear from China is what makes the world go round, isn't it? The world would be a much duller place, and occasionally it goes into the industrial realm instead of just fashion, but you know, probably if we all stripped off now and put a little pile of our clothing at the front of the stage, everyone would forget what we were talking about, but...
Feebly, this is the news of alleged Chinese piracy against the...
Piracy?
Piracy. Feebly, this is the news of alleged Chinese piracy against the intellectual assets... ...of a Scottish energy company. Pelamis, a company experimenting with wave energy, were visited by a Chinese delegation in 2011. 10 weeks later, four of their laptops were stolen during a break-in, and now a wave power machine has been unveiled by the Chinese that has striking similarities to the Pelamis model. Still, it gets us back for nicking their idea of building a really big wall. There were some suspicions during the Chinese visit, particularly when their feng shui expert suggested improving the energy flow around the building by leaving the back door open and turning off the burglar alarms. It's not known exactly how the theft occurred, but the Pelamis security guard said that with the benefit of hindsight, he regretted waving through eight people dressed as a dragon. A spokesman for Energy Wave Scotland said that intellectual property is not protected in China. Neither are these civil rights of its children, as they're plunged into a life of slave labour, but all countries have their cultural differences. I say potato, they say keep stitching the trainers. 2 points to Sarah. Simon, why are trousers now leading to combat?
Ah, these are the intimidating trousers, aren't they?
They really are.
Of a parish council in parish council news now, and it's good to see. It has to be said, with Westminster imploding left, right, and centre, and national and international politics reaching such a high pitch of anxiety, that at the parish level, good old fashioned British spite and small mindedness is still very much dominating. A parish council has virtually disintegrated after a row in which a gentleman was told that his trousers were too intimidating and he would have to go home and change them. The trousers in question, which is why Miles referred to them as combat, were camouflage trousers, which I personally have to say I find amongst the least intimidating sort of trousers on a middle-aged man. They suggest a mental incapacity with which I'll be able to deal quite easily, I think. Personally, I find a well-cut Savile Row suit quite intimidating. That suggests that I'm dealing with an operator. A 41-year-old man in combat trousers can be easily dismissed. He has 41 pairs of them as well, which is more than I've ever owned of any kind of trousers. I mean, he clearly is in some sort of difficulty, but... this exposed and just... But there was a fault line in the parish council created by a rather overbearing chairman and I think his wife, and it was all right. It was some sort of, you know, BBC Four sitcom, really. And it's set in a town called Esh. I mean, this hasn't been fully written, this story, yet, clearly. No, it's called Esh. You can't just call somewhere Esh. That's the end of a word, or possibly the start or the middle bit. That's not an entire place, is it, Esh? So, anyway, the man has wandered off in his camouflage trousers. Obviously, nobody can see where he is now, but... And whether this issue will ever be resolved, I don't know. But the chairman has been told to go on a course to understand why he was wrong and to apologise. He's agreed to go on the course, but he refuses to apologise, which I think is entirely the correct combination of responses to that. It does make you wonder, though, will it be in years to come be studied as something like the defenestration of Prague, you know, the final spark that created the 30-year Brexit wars? And it, yes, the intimidating trousers. They didn't cause the death of millions, but Britain at that time was a powder keg, and this was the spark.
Sinuously, this is the news of a dust-up at Esh Parish Council in County Durham. A spate of resignations followed an incident where Parish Councillor Ian Dowson was reprimanded by fellow Councillor Joe Armstrong for wearing intimidating combat trousers. Mr Dowson also fought in the Iraq War, where, ironically, he wore a full white wedding dress and veil. 11 members of Esh Parish Council have now resigned, not unlike the Labour Party, the only difference being that some of the things discussed by Esh Parish Council will ultimately happen. Of course, combat trousers bring back bad memories for several members of the Esh Parish Council who were abducted in 2013 by guerrilla fighters from the nearby village of Headley Hill, who held them captive for 18 months until they agreed to hand over their Britain in Bloom Award. 2 points to Simon. Susan, who's getting into a lather about some leather?
This is a story about yoga, and I may make some generalisations as I'm talking about this. If I offend anyone by my yoga generalisations, I apologise sincerely. An LA company called Baller Yoga has decided to release a yoga mat that costs $1,000. Now, usually yoga mats cost about $20 to $50, but this one's made out of leather, the same leather they make football balls out of, because the tagline they have is for athletes who have everything and desire nothing, which makes no sense at all. And so for $1,000, you can buy a leather yoga mat, which has created some controversy for a number of reasons. First of all, the first yogis didn't have a mat at all. They were just in caves. The point of yoga is not necessarily to show off about how expensive your mat is. And secondly, and this is a generalisation, a lot of people who do yoga tend to be either vegetarians or vegans, and therefore selling them a piece of dead animal to do their yoga on isn't particularly appealing. And it's a way, I think, of monetising an activity or sport which isn't particularly monetized in terms of, you can buy fancy yoga gear, but the mat itself is just a yoga mat. And they're thinking, well, people might pay $1,000 for a piece of leather to sit on. And I asked my friend about this. A friend of mine is a yoga teacher. We're not close friends because she's far too flexible. I strained a muscle the other day reaching for the remote control. Yoga is not the kind of thing I should be doing. And she said it's not part of the ethics of yoga, especially if you do Bikram. Is it Bikram yoga? You know, the one where they crank up the fan heater really high and everyone sweats. If you sweat on leather, if you've ever sat on a leather couch on a hot day wearing only your pants, you'll know that is a dangerous situation. You leave behind your skin behind it. So I can only imagine in Bikram yoga, when you're lying all over the place half naked, that it's essentially you'll lose half of your skin, which I would pay $1,000 for that. I'd pay maybe $500, but not $1,000 to have the top layer of my skin removed. It's not a pleasurable thing, I don't think. I once went to a Russian, actually, woman who squeezed my blackheads, and I found that very relaxing. But I didn't want her to flay me.
Has anyone got anything pertinent to add at this point? Do you do yoga, Sarah?
Oh. No, I went to one yoga class and I hated it. No, that's too strong. I just didn't. I felt weird about it. There was a lot of farting, and I'm still at the sort of psychological age where I find it that amusing. I'm 40 and I think farts are funny. I don't care. I don't care what anyone thinks of that. They're funny and they sound funny. There's just people doing it and not kind of going, like, everyone just having this kind of zen kind of calm and then dropping their guts. It's just... That's just, you know, and they were deadpanning the whole time, which made it even funnier.
When I was about nine, I did judo for a little while. Once I was thrown, like, by the other kid, you know, over his shoulder, and I landed with quite a thump, and I let out a huge rip-roaring fart. Completely, I had no control over it, whatever. It just went bang, straight out of me. And the judo instructor was convinced that was the sound of a ligament or a tendon or something. He went into full panic mode, and I was so mortified that he... I don't know what I've done. I knew. All the other kids knew, and one of them eventually went, "Sir, I think he just farted." Did you? Yeah, I did fart that. Never went back, and my parents had literally just invested in the kit that week as well after doing it for a month in my training.
What a great fight tactic. Almost like, you know, it's terrible when your kids get old enough. Because the great thing about having kids is you can blame them for farts. Like, when you're out and about, you go, "Oh, someone needs a nappy change," and you've just done a massive fart. And, you know, and then they just suddenly reach this magical age where they go, "No, that was you." And shut up!
Can I just say, on the subject of unnecessarily expensive yoga mats, whether they're made of leather or not, it is an annoying trend, and this one has particularly just caught the eye of the papers, but for instance, the 5-2 diet, the fasting diet, which came, there are about a dozen books available about that now. It just involves not eating 2 days of the week. You don't need a book. It's on a side of A4, if that. There was a craze a few years ago, and I was quite into running, not particularly, but just enough, and I read this book called Born to Run, which was all about barefoot runners and a tribe of Mexicans who live in a sort of canyon environment where they run barefoot all day. And it caught on, and it became a bit of a cult, and Nike and various other shoe manufacturers started making barefoot running shoes. And people bought these things for £80. It said on the box, "Barefoot running shoes." I mean... No! Those these are shoes, therefore you're not barefoot. But they, I mean, if they find that there's something that people are doing that they can't monetize, they go, OK, so maybe you consider having the Nike swoosh just tattooed onto the sole of your foot for 50 quid, just so that we can be associated with this thing. It's hilarious, but it's kind of annoying as well. I think we should resist it. I think we should poke fun and pillory these. The whole great thing about yoga is you can do it in a pair of old pants on an old towel. That's my belief.
I think that is a very, very Thank robust you. Response
yeah.
to the yoga crisis.
Yes.
Potentially, this is the uproar amongst the vegan community caused by a new yoga mat that costs $1,000 and is made from premium leather. Of course, traditionally, yoga is only practiced on a bed of self-congratulation. Apparently, this is for a thing that's now very popular in America, which is male yoga, or as they genuinely call it, broga. Amazing how you can suddenly find yourself siding with ISIS. The product has upset the vegan community, but then again, so has everything, down to and including the concept of cheese. 2 points to Susan. Before we reveal the final scores, has anybody got a cutting they'd like to share? Francis.
Yeah, I can't remember what it is now. I think it's probably some top-grade locker room talk. oh, no, it's not. No, it's from The Guardian, sorry. the TV regulator Ofcom has said Emmerdale will not face an investigation over complaints that a storyline about dog napping could inspire copycat crimes.
Sarah.
This is taken from the front page of the Daily Mirror. Ginger Spice, I'm having a baby aged 44.
That would certainly leapfrog a lot of the troublesome years. I consider it.
Susan.
This was sent in by Tony Anderson, and it's taken from an interview with Trump donor Sean O'Loughlin. Donald lives, works, eats and employs people of all races and religions.
Thank you. Now let's take a look at the final score. Simon and Susan have 8, but this week's winners are Francis and Sarah with 9. Before we leave you, here is a plea from the Tayside Police, sent in by Graham Logan.
Officers were called out to Dundee this morning after reports of a chicken giving motorists cause for concern. The bird was gathered safely and is now at the station. We're appealing for any information as to why the chicken was crossing the road.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Francis Wheen, Sarah Kendall, Simon Evans and Susan Howman. In the chair was Miles Jupp and the news was read by me, Neil Sweet. The chair's script was written by Madeline Brettingham, Tom Coles, Ed Amsden and James Kettle, with additional material by Ahir Shah and Jenny LaVille. The producer was Paul Sheehan and it was a BBC Studios production. Oh.